Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online. After midnight.
Bethany had experienced deja vu often enough to recognize the feeling. It was more than familiarity, but less than a memory. For a few seconds, she would feel certain she had stood in that exact place before, listening to the same words or watching the same moment unfold. Then the feeling would disappear before she could understand it. It had happened in grocery stores, restaurants, and once at her dentist's office. None of those moments had been important. She had never predicted what would happen next. Her brain simply seemed to misfile the present as something from the past, and she had always accepted that explanation. The feeling she had at work that Tuesday morning was no different, at least not at first. Bethany worked for a company that managed billing and scheduling for several medical clinics. The office occupied the second floor of a building constructed in the late 1970s. It had long hallways, low ceilings, and windows that never opened. During the winter, the heating system made unpredictable noises inside the walls. Some offices stayed cold while others became uncomfortably warm. Bethany had worked there for almost 4 years. She knew which restroom faucet had to be pushed twice before it stopped running, which elevator sometimes paused between floors, and which light above the copier flickered whenever the heat came on. That morning, she arrived shortly before 8 and found Rachel standing near the copier with a paper cup. Rachel was talking to Shane, who was trying to pull a sheet of paper from somewhere inside the machine. The copier beeped, Rachel lifted her cup, and a phone began ringing at the reception desk. The moment settled over Bethany with such complete familiarity that she stopped walking. She knew the angle at which Rachel was holding the cup. She knew Shane would straighten, rub his hand against his pants, and complain that the copier hated him. She even knew the phone would stop ringing before anyone answered it. Shane stood, rubbed his hand against his pants, and made his familiar complaint about the copier. A moment later, the phone stopped. Bethany remained in the hallway, staring at them. It was deja vu. Nothing more. Shane fought with the copier at least once a week, and everyone had heard him claim that it held a personal grudge against him. Whoever had called had simply hung up. By the time Bethany reached her desk, the feeling had already passed. The morning settled into its usual rhythm. Bethany answered emails, corrected a scheduling error, and attended a brief staff meeting. Nothing about the meeting felt familiar until everyone began gathering their notebooks and coffee cups. Rachel reached across the table for a pen. The sleeve of her sweater caught the edge of a folder, dragging it onto the floor. As Shane leaned down to help, Bethany suddenly knew he would bump the table. She also knew the woman beside her would catch her coffee cup with both hands and joke that they had nearly worn it. Shane struck the underside of the table and the cups jumped. The woman beside Bethany caught her coffee and made the exact joke Bethany had expected. She remained in the conference room after everyone else had left, pretending to organize her notes. Rachel was always dropping things, and the woman beside Bethany repeated the same handful of expressions. Bethany had probably witnessed some version of the moment before and forgotten it. Her brain had recognized the pattern a few seconds ahead of her conscious thoughts. That explanation made sense, at least it sounded as if it did. Back at her desk, Bethany searched for information about deja vu. The familiar explanations reassured her. It was common, and fatigue or stress could make it happen more often. Sometimes the brain processed an experience twice within a fraction of a second, causing the second impression to feel like a memory. She had been tired lately. The office was particularly busy, and she had awakened several times during the night. There was no reason to treat two ordinary moments as anything unusual. Nothing else happened for several hours. By lunchtime, Bethany felt faintly embarrassed by how much attention she had given it. At a little after 2, she walked into the break room for a bottle of water. Rachel was standing at the counter while the microwave counted down the final seconds on a cup of tea. The fluorescent light above them flickered. Rachel looked up and sighed. Before she spoke, Bethany knew she was going to comment that the entire building might someday fall apart around them. Rachel said it almost word for word. The microwave beeped and the light flickered again. This time, the deja vu did not pass cleanly. It seemed to deepen as though Bethany were standing in the same room at two different times. Rachel's words sounded both immediate and distant, like an echo arriving from somewhere it shouldn't. Then something else came with it. Dread. It was so sudden and intense that Bethany gripped the edge of the counter. There was no thought attached to it and no image she could identify. Nothing in the room had changed. Rachel removed her tea from the microwave, the light steadied, and someone laughed in the hallway. Still, Bethany felt certain that something was wrong. It wasn't the microwave or the flickering light. It wasn't anything she could explain. The feeling was larger than that, a warning without words, a certainty that something terrible was approaching. Rachel noticed her expression and asked whether she was all right. Bethany claimed she had stood up too quickly, although she hadn't been sitting down. After Rachel left, Bethany remained in the break room and waited for her breathing to slow. No alarm sounded, no one shouted. The building continued its usual creaks and hums, and within a minute, the dread began to fade. Bethany returned to her desk, telling herself she had allowed a few strange moments to frighten her. She was tired, and reading about déjà vu had only made her more aware of it. Her mind had taken an ordinary sensation and turned it into something ominous. There was no reason to believe anything bad was going to happen. But for the rest of the afternoon, Bethany found herself listening for an alarm she had never heard and watching the hallway as if she were waiting for something she had already seen. For the next hour, nothing unusual happened, and Bethany tried to focus on her work, but the dread had left something behind. It was no longer the overwhelming fear she had felt in the break room. Now it was a quiet awareness that followed her from one task to the next, as though she had forgotten something important and would remember it at the worst possible moment. At 3, she considered telling her supervisor she felt sick and needed to leave. The thought brought relief, but also a strange sense of guilt. Whatever she was waiting for might happen after she was gone. Although there was no reasonable basis for believing anything would happen at all, she had experienced déjà vu 3 times. That was all. The office continued normally. Shane stopped by to ask about a patient file. Rachel passed through carrying a folder, and the phone rang several times. The heat came on, rattling through the vents before settling into its steady hum. Those ordinary sounds should have reassured Bethany, but she found herself listening beneath them for something else. When someone at the far end of the office dropped a metal water bottle, the crash made Bethany jump so hard that she struck her hand against the keyboard. Rachel noticed and asked again if she felt all right. This time, Bethany admitted she was having a strange day. She described the déjà vu without mentioning the dread or her certainty that something bad was coming. Rachel didn't make fun of her. She said she had experienced it too, usually when she was tired, and suggested Bethany might be coming down with something, and it was exactly the kind of explanation Bethany wanted to hear. She took 2 pain relievers, drank some water, and decided she would go home if she still felt strange in half an hour. Having a plan calmed her. She returned a phone call, answered several emails, and became absorbed enough in her work that she stopped watching the clock. Then the lights dimmed. It lasted less than a second. The computer monitors darkened without shutting off, and the ventilation system briefly went quiet before everything returned to normal. A few employees commented on it, but no one seemed concerned. Shane stepped out of his office to ask whether anyone else had lost power. Rachel tapped a key to wake her screen, and someone near reception said it had only flickered. Bethany knew this moment. The realization came slowly, without the jolt she had felt earlier. Shane standing in his doorway, Rachel staring at her monitor, and the vent starting again above them all felt familiar. For an instant, Bethany had the impression of chairs rolling back and several people moving quickly through the hallway. She could almost hear desk drawers closing and footsteps heading in the same direction. Then it was gone. The office manager soon announced that the power company had been working nearby. She had called the front desk downstairs and been assured that brief fluctuations were possible. Everyone accepted the explanation, including Bethany, or at least she tried to. She saved her work and reached for her purse, but the thought of leaving suddenly felt wrong. A few minutes earlier, she had wanted nothing more than to go home. Now the idea of stepping into the elevator and leaving everyone else behind made her deeply uneasy. By 4, people had begun making the small preparations that signaled the end of the workday. Lunch containers disappeared into bags, and coats were draped over chairs. The office felt normal again. Even Bethany's dread had weakened, leaving her to wonder whether she had spent the day frightening herself over nothing. She turned off the small fan beside her monitor and noticed how warm the office had become. The heat had run through most of the afternoon, making the air dry and stale. She stood and walked toward the thermostat in the hallway, although she knew adjusting it probably wouldn't accomplish much. Halfway there, she stopped. For a moment, she thought she smelled something burning. It wasn't the obvious smell of smoke. It was faint and dry, like dust on a hot furnace, and it disappeared before she could locate it. No one else reacted. Bethany lowered the thermostat and started back toward her desk. The smell returned, slightly stronger this time. It seemed to be coming from somewhere near the break room, although the air moving through the vents made it difficult to tell. Rachel stepped into the hallway carrying her empty teacup. Bethany asked whether she smelled anything unusual. Rachel paused and drew a breath. She could smell it too, but she wasn't concerned. With the heat running so much, she assumed it was dust in the system or something left behind after maintenance had worked on the heater. Bethany had smelled the same thing at home the first time she turned on the furnace each winter. It was unpleasant but harmless, and it usually disappeared within a few minutes. Then the déjà vu returned with enough force to make her stomach tighten. She recognized Rachel's explanation. She recognized the casual way Rachel held the cup and the certainty that there was no reason to worry. Bethany couldn't remember when the conversation had happened before, yet she knew they had accepted that explanation the first time. And she knew they should not dismiss the smell again. The dread returned heavier than before. It no longer felt like a warning about something approaching. Whatever she had been waiting for had already begun. Bethany stood in the hallway trying to decide what to do. The smell was faint. Rachel had noticed it too, which confirmed Bethany wasn't imagining it. But nothing about it suggested an emergency. There was no smoke, no alarm, and no sound of anything burning. If not for the déjà vu and the dread that had followed her all afternoon, Bethany would have returned to her desk and forgotten about it. That was what frightened her most. She was certain she had ignored the smell before. Bethany walked toward the break room where the odor seemed slightly stronger. She checked the microwave and the small toaster beneath the counter. Both were unplugged. The coffee maker had already been turned off, and nothing had been left inside the trash can that might have caused the smell. Rachel followed her and pointed out that the odor seemed to disappear whenever the heat stopped running. To her, that confirmed it was coming from the heating system and was probably harmless. Bethany wanted to agree. She had no logical reason to believe otherwise, and she was aware of how she must look moving around the break room and smelling the air. Still, the feeling inside her continued to build. As she stepped back into the hallway, the lights dimmed again. The vent above her went silent. For a few seconds, the burning odor became stronger without the moving air scattering it. Bethany turned toward the wall beside the break room. Another flash of familiarity came over her. It wasn't a clear memory or a vision. She had only the impression of people hurrying through smoke and someone pulling on a door that would not open. The image vanished almost immediately, leaving behind a fear so intense that she could no longer dismiss it. Bethany called maintenance. Rachel waited until she hung up before gently telling her that she was probably overreacting. She didn't say it unkindly. There was simply nothing to see, and the smell was already fading again. Bethany admitted that Rachel might be right, but said, "It would be better to have someone check." The maintenance worker arrived a few minutes later carrying a small tool bag. By then, the odor was barely noticeable. Rachel returned to her desk, and Bethany began to feel foolish as she tried to explain what they had smelled and where it had seemed strongest. The maintenance worker checked the microwave, coffee maker, and nearby outlets. He removed the vent cover and shined a light inside, but found nothing unusual. He asked whether the smell could have come from someone's lunch or from outside the building. Bethany said she didn't think so, although her certainty was beginning to weaken. Without the smell or the dread, she had nothing to offer him. She couldn't explain that she believed something terrible was happening because the afternoon felt familiar. The maintenance worker was preparing to replace the vent cover when Bethany noticed him pause. He leaned closer to the wall, placed his palm against it, and then moved his hand several inches to the side. He asked Bethany to step back. The change in his manner was immediate. He no longer seemed as though he were reassuring an anxious employee. He moved quickly into the hallway, checked the opposite side of the wall, and called the building manager. After a brief conversation, he called 911 and said the building needed to be evacuated. The fire alarm began sounding less than a minute later. For Bethany, the noise was both new and familiar. Shane appeared in his doorway, and Rachel stared at Bethany as the staff moved into the hallway. It was the moment Bethany had sensed when the lights dimmed earlier. The movement, the footsteps, and everyone heading in the same direction had all been waiting somewhere in her mind. The evacuation remained calm, but there was confusion as employees from both floors crowded toward the exits. Some believed it was a drill. Others assumed Bethany's call to maintenance had led to an unnecessary precaution. Rachel stayed beside her as they took the stairs and crossed the parking lot to the designated gathering area. Once everyone was outside, Bethany looked up at the second floor windows. She expected to see smoke pressing against the glass, but the building looked unchanged. No flames were visible, and no alarm could be heard through the closed doors. For several minutes, it appeared that Rachel had been right. Then the first fire engine arrived. Firefighters entered through the front of the building while another crew went around to the rear. More emergency vehicles followed, and the parking lot filled with flashing lights. The employees were moved farther away as hoses were pulled from one of the trucks. Bethany's supervisor found her in the crowd and asked what she had noticed. Bethany kept her explanation simple. She had smelled something burning. Rachel had smelled it too. And Bethany had called maintenance because the odor didn't seem right. There was no way to explain the rest of it. Nearly half an hour passed before they learned what had happened. An electrical fire had started inside the wall near the break room, probably where damaged wiring ran into the space above the ceiling. It had been burning slowly without producing enough smoke to trigger the building's detectors. The moving air from the heating system had carried the odor through the office, but it had also made the source difficult to locate. The maintenance worker had felt heat through the wall. By the time firefighters opened it, the fire had already begun spreading above the ceiling. No one was allowed back inside that evening. The damage was contained mostly to the wall and a section of the ceiling, but the fire captain later told the building manager that another 20 or 30 minutes could have made an enormous difference. Once the fire reached more of the space above them, it might have spread through the office before anyone realized how serious it was. As people began arranging rides home, Rachel approached Bethany. She admitted that she had thought Bethany was making too much of a strange smell. If Bethany hadn't insisted on calling maintenance, Rachel would have ignored it and finished her workday. Bethany knew she would have done the same. That was the part she couldn't stop thinking about. She hadn't recognized the danger because the smell was obviously alarming. She had recognized it because Rachel's response felt familiar. Somewhere in that impossible sensation, Bethany knew they had dismissed it before. She experienced no more déjà vu that evening. The next morning, the office remained closed and employees were told to work from home while the damage was repaired. Bethany sat at her kitchen table answering emails, surrounded by familiar things that felt exactly as they should. She searched again for explanations of déjà vu but found nothing that accounted for what had happened. A tired brain might explain why a present moment felt like the past. It could not explain why dread had arrived before the burning smell, or why she had sensed the evacuation before anyone knew there was a fire. Perhaps she had been given a glimpse of the future. Perhaps her mind had noticed small warning signs before she consciously understood them. There was one possibility she could not bring herself to dismiss. Maybe some part of her remembered another version of that day, the one in which she had accepted Rachel's explanation, returned to her desk, and waited until the fire could no longer be ignored. Bethany would never know what happened in that version. She only knew that this time everyone made it outside.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.